Position number 9416, reel 2.
Mr. Harry Smith, Reel 2. We were talking about the training you did at Biscot Camp. Did you do any actual gunnery training at this time in lane or drill?
Yes, from May 4th we had gun drill. We took part in this training for gun drill.
What exactly did that consist of? Can you still remember?
You're more or less given the word for the signal to fire the guns, and the layout of the guns, and what was required of a gunner in action.
Were you being trained? You weren't going to be a gunner, were you?
No.
You were going to be a gun fitter.
But I had to be with the gunners, you see.
So this was
training.
Just to make sure you knew what was going on.
Yes.
In inventive emergency.
Yes.
Did you do much of that training in lane and in?
Not a great lot. There were other things we did. Quite a lot of gas drill and fatigues.
What about horses? Were you trained at all in riding a horse or grooming or looking after a horse?
Yes. Whilst I was there, I had the first pair of horses to groom. And I was told to keep from behind because they kicked occasionally. And so I kept that advice and kept away from the rear.
What about the riding of horses?
No riding at that particular time.
You say you were doing a lot of fatigues. What sort of fatigues would they be?
Well, for instance, if you went along to the post office and asked for mail from home, you usually got a picket duty.
What was a picket duty? Is that guard duty?
Guard duty at night. You got guard duty from about 8 o'clock at night until about 6 next morning. And so after you'd had a few lessons on this sort of technique, you ask someone else to see if there are any letters for you, and they fell for it then. New recruits, of course.
Now, you were under canvas at Biscot, weren't you?
Yes.
What was it like in the tents? Were
conditions
all right?
Well, I couldn't say it were comfortable. The only thing, you had to sleep with one eye shut, because after one experience of being robbed, you're always very careful with your money.
You were robbed during the night once?
Yes.
Can you tell me about that? Do you know how much? Did you lose a lot of money?
Not a lot. Of course, you had a lot of money in those days, but perhaps up to a pound, which was quite a lot of money to lose.
How did you feel about that?
Well, there was the other chap and myself. We felt very annoyed, but We had an idea who it was, but we couldn't pin it onto them because we hadn't seen them, do we?
Was there a lot of thieving going on at that time?
Not a lot, but you get a wrong man amongst a tent full of people. There's always trouble of that nature.
Now, how did you get on with the rest of your comrades who were being trained at this time? How did you get on with the other privates?
Oh, pretty well. Yes, no troubles.
Was there any bullying or?
No. There's always a bit of kid, you know, one to another, but nothing to worry about.
How about with the NCOs and officers? How did you get on with them, the instructors?
Well, some of them are very young and a bit officious. I know if you once you get out of step with the others, they're trouble for you.
What about, did you feel that they were fair, or were they well liked, the officers and NCOs?
Well, I found it was all right. Yes, I couldn't grumble.
So you didn't have any trouble yourself?
No.
With them. Did you get to, did you see, what sort of recreations would you have during this period of training? How would you amuse yourself?
Well, I don't think I ever went out of the camp. We'd only three passes in a week. But when you got guard duties and things like that, you've no chance of going out.
So you didn't get a chance to meet the local civilians much?
No.
How long were you at Biscot Camp?
May 18th.
You left on May the 18th?
Which Saturday. After inoculation, came home on draft leave.
So you knew you... Did you know where you were going to be posted to?
No.
What was your leave like, that draft leave? Remember anything about
it? Well, my arm was very stiff. I couldn't lift it for a few days. Travelled home to Sobey Bridge and was at home for 5 days.
What do you remember about that leave?
Well, I went to visit old friends and I went over to see my sister. She lived at Barnsley. And returned from Luton on May 22nd.
Now, you were being drafted. Where were you drafted to?
Well, nowhere in particular, you see, then, but that was in preparation for going to France, I suppose, that your draft leave.
That's what I mean. When you got back from your draft leave, where were you, where did you go?
Well, I went back to Luton, and for a day or two, I was kept on these various duties, and then in, on May 29th, left Luton for Southampton. After half a day at Southampton, embarked at night for France. Arrived next morning.
What do you remember about the crossing?
Well, I remember it. Pretty good crossing. Was, and next morning when I looked out and we were in Le Havre.
So where did you go from Le Havre?
We marched up to the Pimple. That's the top of the hill. 8 miles march. After we arrived at Le Havre, the French kiddies were cycling along the road asking for pennies. See, we 12 pennies to a shilling, and they always dished out 10 for a shilling afterwards, so they made 2 pennies. And they also told us about the sisters, where the sisters lived, if we wanted any enlightenment, but I wasn't interested in that at all. Anyway, we arrived at this pinnacle, a very hot and dusty sort of a place, and we were camped there. And during the day, the tents were dropped. The reveille was 5 a.m. You queued up for your breakfast at 6 o'clock. You didn't get any until 7:30, and if you weren't in the queue at 6 o'clock, the food ran out. So you missed on that occasion. The same thing applied at lunchtime. And then at night, many a time there was an air raid stage. Whether there should have been or not, I don't know, but... I think some of them were just to test the ability of the recruits to jump out of the tent and go to the top of the hill where there were some trenches. And woe betide anybody that was left in the tent, because the sergeant major came round with a big stick and hit the side of the tent. At least so he knew whether anybody there or not, because they got a wallop on the head and shouted. And this happened for quite a while.
Were there ever any real air raids while he was there?
I think not on this camp, but the sirens sounded.
There were just planes in the area?
Yes. And whilst I was there, I went, there was quite good facilities as far as Sunday worship was concerned. There was canteens and there was the church army. But after a while, I was drafted to go down into the arm itself, to the arsenal there, and work on the guns for a few days. Every morning we would march down and march back again at night.
Now, had you had the opportunity to actually work as a fitter on the guns before, or was this the first time?
This was the first time.
So you'd had no other practice at how to repair the guns? What guns were they?
They were mainly 18-pounders and perhaps just a bit, maybe up to about 60-pounders.
Now, when you went down there to work on them, what exactly were you doing to them? And what were you shown to do at that time?
Well, we were instructed to do a fitter's job, or strip them, or anything we could hammer out or make do, we had to do. But they were pretty badly knocked about with these guns.
Did you understand, with your apprenticeship, did you understand how they worked and everything about the gun? Were you given diagrams, or could you just see what was wrong by looking?
Well, you saw what was wrong at this particular place. You were instructed, and there were certain diagrams given to you. There was quite a few fitters working there.
Regular fitters?
They'd come from the camp, and some regular that were regular men that had been there for a while.
So, were these guns there, were they really being repaired, or were they more there as practice tools for you to go?
They were being repaired. But they had the facilities there to do a bigger job than up near the front, you see.
So you were, it was a bit of both really. The guns were being repaired and you were getting some practice.
Yes.
Did you enjoy working on the guns?
We did, because the grub were better there. The further away from camp you were, the better the food. The first time I think we'd had some plum duff there.
But did you enjoy the actual things you had to do to the guns?
Oh, yes.
Was it satisfying?
Yeah, much better than being on duties at the camp, chasing around doing this, that and the other.
So you did half a day each day?
A full day.
A full day? On
yes,
it?
Yes.
I should have asked before, but what was wrong with the guns? You say they were damaged. How were they damaged? In what way?
Some of them being hit by shells, enemy shells, and done quite a bit of damage to the various firing parts.
Would you replace those or try and reshape them into the right shape? Which would you do?
Yes, you try to replenish them, and more or less. There was welding there to where you could weld certain parts, see, but required welding to make them to go in concern for the gun again.
But if something was broken, would you just get a new part and put it on? Properly broken and irreparable?
Oh yes, yes. There were parts there which you could put into the gun.
Would you patch holes in the shields and things like that, or would you just leave?
Yes, there were patches. There were welders there, acetylene welders, which they repaired these shields.
After you'd repaired these guns, would they be in good service condition again, or would they just be patch up job for a few weeks?
Well, they were more or less patched up jobs. Some of them would go back again.
What would the others be used as? The ones that weren't sent back to the front. What would happen to them?
Well, I don't know whether they'd be eventually broken up or not, but they were vital to take certain parts from them.
What about the barrels could only be fired a you could only fire a certain number of shells before they had to re-rifle, I think it was, or
yes,
put a new barrel on. Would you be involved in doing that sort of thing?
No.
Who would do that?
I don't know who would do that, but I don't remember doing any whilst I was there.
So that if the barrel went, it was left to
yes, there'd be a new barrel put in.
And you wouldn't fit that in?
Well, I didn't, but some people may have done.
How long were you on this duty while you were at the camp, at the Pimple?
On June 13th, I was recalled from the arsenal back again to the camp. I was wanted to draft to go up the line.
And to which unit? Did you know which unit you were going to be sent to?
No, not then.
So
at 6:30 we were marched down into Le Havre and loaded. The band of the artillery played in front of us all the way to the station. And from there we entrained in cattle trucks.
What do you remember about the train journey?
Well, you could jump off and gather buttercups, if there were any, and go and jump back again. We left at 6:30 p.m. and at 9:30 a.m. we arrived at Doolan's. But in the meantime, in the dark, we passed through Amiens station, which was in complete darkness. The Germans were only 4 miles away at that time and shelled the station occasionally.
So you went to Doolans?
Doolans.
Doolans. And what happened there? Did you disembark there?
Yes, from the train. Then we marched to this reinforcement camp.
A Royal Artillery reinforcement.
Yes.
Do you know where that was? Where it was?
Lille Villas.
And do you remember anything about that journey?
Yes, we passed an hospital which had been bombed, a Canadian hospital, the night previous.
How did that sight affect you?
Well, I took it in my stride, I must say. I wasn't surprised at anything then when I got on the other side.
Did you think the Germans had done that deliberately, or what did...
Well, they did, yes. They didn't differentiate between hospitals and other things near the firing line.
Did that affect the way you thought about them?
Yes.
In what way?
Well, I thought it was really wasn't playing cricket, more or less. It wasn't the thing to do to bomb hospitals. And
now, when you got to this Royal Artillery camp, the reinforcement camp, how long did you stay there before you were assigned to a unit?
Well, I did various jobs there as a wheeler and a fitter. Repaired the wagons and...
Well, let's take each of those in turn. What did you do? What was the job of wheeler? What did that involve?
Well, he repaired the wagons.
How did you go about it?
Well, in a normal way, like a wheelwright would do. Let's use the tools and fitted them onto these axles and things like that. I did a multitude of jobs like that before I got up to my original battery man.
Did you have a properly kitted out workshop at Lille Villas?
Well, it was a makeshift place where you could blacksmiths and things like that, you see, where you could... they always had to have a blacksmith nearby where they shoed the horses, of course.
Now, I believe at this time there was an outbreak of the Spanish flu epidemic in your in this divisional reserve, artillery reserve. Can you tell me about that, how it affected your unit?
Yes, there was practically two-thirds of the column were affected. I, along with three more artillerymen, slept in a square-built trench about 2 feet deep. I was one of the middle ones. I awoke at Rivale, and when I looked, the other three were like dead men. So I shook them, got no reply, and called the MO and found out that they'd got the Spanish flu and they were taken away to hospital.
Had they shown any symptoms the night before when you went to sleep?
No. No, we all sat down in this place and when I shook this fellow and shook this fellow, no response. So it held up the old show then, see. With two-thirds of the column being taken away, then we had to wait until reinforcements came up.
The artillery reserve then was part of the divisional column?
Yes.
Do you know what division that was?
63rd Naval Division.
So, what happened next then after this outbreak? That was in June, round about June
20th?
25th.
Well, for a day or two then, I was helping to make dumps of shells that were being stacked ready for an attack. And this happened for quite a few days.
How did you make a dump of shells? Was there any special way you put them to try and minimise?
No, you built them up, one on top of the other.
On their sides?
Yes, they were on the sides, yes. Of course, you couldn't put them straight up because you couldn't pile them up that way. And then they were covered over at night. Well, then...
How many shells would there be in a dump in one part?
Oh, it could be done for 1,000.
So it was a big job making
yes,
a dump?
Yes, it was a big job, all-day job.
How many people would be on it?
Well, let's think about 6 as far as I can remember now.
So there's quite a big structure to build for just six.
Yes, it was, and then covered over.
Did you just make the one dump?
For a couple of days, I stood guard duty one night, and then I was drafted along to near Ashu to make another dump, out to make another dump. The former dump, I heard, was blown up by the Germans about the day after we left.
Was that a long-range shell or air raid?
Air raid, yes.
Now, you were moving forward at this
time.
We were in the
gas zone. We were practically in the reserve trenches then.
And you still hadn't been... You were still with the divisional reserve,
yes.
The artillery reserve?
Yes, sir.
You hadn't been assigned to a unit?
No.
So you've never been in a unit yet?
No.
I believe you got a day's local leave around about this time.
July 10th. Went with a saddler to Doolan's and spent a day there.
What sort of thing would you do?
Well, a general look round and then had a good meal, eggs and chips. It was a luxury.
Was that at the Nestamine?
Yes.
Did you drink at that time? Would you have had a beer or a glass of wine?
No, I don't remember drinking much, no.
You weren't a drinker then?
No. Then we went to the pictures at night, after tea, and arrived back at the position. Next day was a very eventful day, July 11. I was appointed as fitter to ACT Battery, 223 Brigade, 63rd Naval Division. It was...
Carry on.
The guns were a kilometre and a half in front of Mele Mele. Those were the rear guns. And whilst we were passing... before I arrived at the guns, we saw that the Germans were shelling C batteries, which was just over the crest of the hill. A battery had a very good position. We was in a sunken part, and each man, there was dugouts for practically all the gunners there.
That was at Engelbelmer Wood?
We passed Engelbelmer Wood. On the right hand side were the 38th Division flag, the Welsh Dragons.
Now you say it was a very good position. What was it that made it such a good position?
Well, they couldn't see it, the Germans. They had cover for the guns.
What sort of cover?
Well, they couldn't see them only from the air. You see, suppose they were firing, they had to test a look at. Of course, they knew where they were, I suppose, then, and they'd had it all before in 1916.
So it was the same?
Very same position. This battery was in the very same position in 1916. 63rd Naval Division.
Now, what was your reception on joining A Battery? What sort of reception did they give you?
Well, Sergeant Osborne was the chappie that looked after the rations, and of course he seemed to be a very good fellow. We got on very well with him. And when I arrived there, the fitter that had supposed to be looking after the guns that was leaving to join the machine gun corps.
Were you attached to? Who were you attached to as a fitter within the organisation of the battery? Who did you report to?
Well, Major Yates was a commanding officer of that battery.
But you didn't report direct to him as fitter, would you?
No, they knew about me, see, because I had the crest on the hammer and sickle on my sleeve, you see.
So you were fairly independent of the structure of the battery, were you? You didn't report to a sergeant, you reported to an officer?
Well, I had to report to this Sergeant Osborne. He was the sergeant over that the rations and all that kind of thing.
So that's who you went under?
Yes, quartermaster sergeant. And there were four guns there, and this fitter took me to see each gun, and I asked him the conditions. He said they were very good, they were all right. He said, we'll go along now onto the forward position. That was about 3 kilometres right in the support trenches. That was near the Bloemendaal, not far from Bloemendaal. It was in what is now Newfoundland Park.
So on the ridge?
On the ridge. It was on the main road, on the roadside from Maile Maile to Bloemendaal, the road.